Hello, I'm Mr. Movies of the Famous Film. Hello, I'm Mr. Movies of the Famous Film Twitter.com, and this is the Mr. Movies Podcast.
There's no way to address an officer, Sergeant.
That's how I address a slack-jawed recruit right before I bust his hole with my boot heel, maggot.
Hold up there, son.
Josh, I got the goop on me. And it's the goop that makes it so if I fuck up at all during this podcast episode, I've got to start over from the beginning, and also I've got a head cold.
I have the goop on me that if I make a flub, I will just barrel through the episode for the benefit of the audience and not participate in the bit.
Damn. So all my written bits that I have may just end up flopping. Well,
we can record a 7-hour podcast if you like.
We should, and we have to do every piece, like, bit by bit, exactly the way that we should, just like this movie, which is all about clinically doing war over and over again until you do war the best.
Yeah, it's like speedrunning, or it's spelled like min-maxing your playthrough, right? It's like a roguelite. This is like the smartest movie your dad will ever watch.
Yeah, honestly.
This is the most conceptual I'll ever get for him.
Yeah. I actually wrote that down. I said, this is such a dad movie, but not in the Indiana Jones way. More of the Independence Day kind of way.
Yeah.
Where it's,
yeah,
different vibes. Where Indiana Jones is like, yeah, I was a distant father, but it gave my son charisma. And Independence Day is more like, if you shoot enough people, things will go your way.
No, this movie, I've been trying to get you to watch it for a long time. Because it's one of the rare movies that I actually like. It's in the Josh pantheon of movies, which is like 5 movies.
Yeah, this, Snatch.
Snatch is good.
Commercial for Best Bet.
Yeah, I love all my betting ads. You guys already get those, right? Like
Bang? I don't think we get Bang ads.
No, betting. Sorry, that's my accent coming in.
Oh, got betting. You. No. That's like the one thing that they really clamp down on here. So whenever I'm watching very legal soccer streams, and it's from the UK, it's amazing that the UK economy is tanking right now, given how much of the money just goes right back into gambling.
What, is that in the news? Are we not doing so hot? I thought we were pretty good.
Yeah.
living in the UK right now is basically like what I imagine living in like Romania is right after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. It's just like we can't get like fresh vegetables. Everything sucks. It's raining all the time. Like all of our cars are all like square again because of the new like retro futuristic shit. It sucks ass.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. I remember when I was growing up. That was, like, the pinnacle of success to me, was I was gonna get a job that would allow me to live in England, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna live in the history, and now I'm like, damn, I'm so glad I have no ambitions, and didn't do that.
And you, and where'd you live, sorry?
we have fun here, we have fun here.
go Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, unfortunately for the whole world, England's, like, the perfect place to, like, grow food and stuff, so I think we're gonna be okay for a little while.
Yeah. Would smart money be on moving to Scotland?
Yeah, but don't tell, like, Scottish people that that's the plan, because they won't be very happy about that.
But I thought the Scottish and English loved each other.
They hate us, and it's fine. And, I'm at peace with it. I'm a good guy, though, but they won't give me any of their, like, delicious Scottish water or anything.
Oh, yeah, we were supposed to be talking about our movie.
Oh, is that a flub? Do we have to restart? Can we just...
Oh, yeah, shit, we have to go back to the beginning.
On your feet, maggot!
All right, hey, I'm with Josh of, You don't have a podcast anymore and haven't for years.
I don't do anything anymore, no, that's right.
Yeah. Do you tell people your job now? Or is that a secret?
Nah.
Josh kills animals with harpoons.
professionally. Yeah, I'm a professional whaler.
Yeah. Can't stop That's killing right. whales off the coast of England.
I wish we could get that kind of fucking marine life. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. Fucking
desolate fucking island.
Yeah, we watched a movie called Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, or...
Tom Cruise Groundhog Day.
It's got three names.
Oh, does it really?
It has... Well, the manga is called All You Need Is Kill.
It's a manga? That's why...
Yes, dude, yeah. Oh. It's a manga. That's why it's like... I don't know, good.
You're telling me Tom Cruise was in an anime?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's like a manga. I haven't read it because I'm not going to read mangas, sorry. But
because I am 30 years old.
Yeah, so I got like other stuff to do, like a day job and stuff. But no, it was because it was originally called. Live, Die, Repeat was the first name of
wow,
the film.
That is an ass movie title.
Yeah, and then they changed it to Edge of Tomorrow. And then if you have like the DVD case, it has both names like together. Like it's Live, Die, Repeat, : Edge of Tomorrow. So basically the worst of both worlds.
Wow, Live, Die, Repeat's really bad.
They should just call it All You Need Is Kill. Like the thing, why not?
Yeah, All You Need Is Kill is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like, I don't know. Imagine if Groundhog Day was called like Bill Murray's Repeat Vacation. Like it'd
yeah,
be
or Groundhog Day.
Yeah. It's a bit of a confusing title given that sometimes he makes it to the next day, it appears. Sometimes
yeah,
he doesn't.
It sucks. It really does suck. And Edge of Tomorrow is kind of like, I guess it kind of gives you an idea of what you're getting into, but I mean, what could you name this that's gonna be any good really? Because even like me telling you about it when I was like, oh, it's Tom Cruise, but it's like good. And you're like, I don't know. I was like, no, it's like good, dude. It's like, you have to kind of just watch it just to see it.
Yeah, I think that I just got poisoned on people who were telling me action movies were really good because it was one of these things where there would be... Wait, hang on. I gotta do something about my cat.
On your feet, maggots!
All right, back to the beginning.
Okay. God damn.
Hey, I'm joined by Josh, who doesn't do anything anymore, and we watched Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's all there's called.
Yeah, and this time it has three titles. It's called Kill, Stab, Kill. What was it again?
Edge of Tomorrow. All You Need Is Kill.
Oh,
Live,
fuck.
Die, Repeat.
All right, we got to start over again.
Oh, I thought you did that as a okay.
On your feet, maggots.
Harry, we never make it past the first bit. This is where you die. I have to leave you to die in the intro.
If they replace my blood with another podcaster, I can't start the episode over again.
Getting a blood transfusion from a fucking podcaster. Just kill me now, honestly.
Your cholesterol is just, like, extremely high.
I look over and it's just, like, fucking, like, lemon and lime Gatorade-colored blood going into my face.
But we watched Edge of Tomorrow, a movie with Tom Cruise called Kill, Die, Repeat. Or Edge of Tomorrow.
Are you trying to fucking...
was I wrong?
Yes, dude.
What was it?
It's Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat?
Yes, dude.
I think that one is staying in. I'm not repeating anymore. This bit was very funny in my head, but in practice I feel like it's just going to piss you off.
There's only so many times people will listen to the start of a podcast episode. And they barely listen to the intro for, like, the one they want, let alone, like, five different ones for the one they fucking hate.
God, could you imagine if I played the whole theme song with the movie clip at the beginning each time?
Yeah, that would whip. That would be so good.
How many times have we been here?
But yeah, I adored this movie. This was...
It's really good.
It's actually good. So, what I was saying before, my cat decided to stand in the sink and scream because I put the sink covers on. I think I became a bit jaded because people were telling me that, like, Michael Bay movies, like these new ones, oh, they kick ass. They're so good. You watch it and they're terrible. And they go, yeah that's what I mean. They're really, it's so bad, it's good. And I'm like, I don't have time to be doing this type of stuff.
I have too many A24 movies to be watching, thank you, good day, sir. I nearly said I need to watch a movie called Men, and they actually did call do one called Men, so that kind of like kills my joke.
It is a really weird movie.
Yeah, it looks kind of strange.
Yeah, there's a part at the end of the movie where there's a breech birth, and it's really traumatic looking.
Jesus Christ.
And it's a full-grown man is breech birthed out of somebody. It's really crazy.
That's like... so not my shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, is like, yeah, like women and like women related things. No, like that grosses me out in a major way. This doesn't in a major way. The closest thing you get to like some gore, I guess, is when his like face gets melted off.
Yes.
The first time I saw it, I was kind of like, ugh.
I thought that it was pretty effective, and I'm glad that you brought that up because it's something that I wanted to talk about in regards to why I think this movie is special.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't many action movie frontmen anymore. It seems that a lot of that has just kind of fallen to the wayside of like IP that you attach to somebody.
Sure.
Marvel has kind of transcended that stuff because I mean that's like the big action movies are all these Marvel movies now. So you aren't like, oh, I'm gonna go see that Robert Downey Jr. movie Iron Man. You say I'm gonna go see Iron Man. So like
right.
The front man of these movies, it's kind of gone by the wayside. And up until this point, I mean, now it's pretty much like The Rock. The Rock does stuff.
Yeah, The Rock isn't sinking into the character. He's not, like, becoming Black Adam or whatever the fuck
yeah.
the guy is.
Yeah, it's either him or Jason Statham, and they both have the same problem. And no, it's not being bald. They both have the same problem that Tom Cruise doesn't have. And that's, if I think about Jason Statham and The Rock, you know, just like as like two of the final like front men of these action movies, they would never do this movie because it involves failing over and over again.
Well, that's what I think having Tom Cruise do it also like adds to it, because he's typically not a guy that like ever is seen to be like failing or, I mean, he's had famous meltdowns and shit, but. You know what I mean? Like, he plays, like, the superhero guy, the Mission Impossible dude, not seen the films, not in the pantheon of Josh films, don't know his name. You know, like, the perfect, like, secret agent guy. And he, like, is a pathetic fucking worm in this film for, like, three-quarters of the movie.
Yeah, like, has a plan, and it's only because it's thrust on him. Like,
yeah.
He is not a, like, hero at his heart. And that's what's cool about this is, have you heard about The Rock's and Jason Statham's, the specific clauses that they have in their acting contracts?
Is this something like they can't, like, lose a fight or something pathetic like that?
They can only lose one fight.
Per movie?
Per movie, yeah. So when
so
they did,
sad,
I think
dude.
They were the ones that were in Hobbs and Shaw.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
But, like, there's one fight where Jason Statham wins, there's one where The Rock wins, and then for the rest of it, it's all neutral until they both win together.
I love my neutral fights.
Yeah, isn't it cool having things happen that have no consequences? So, like, you can't imagine, like, The Rock in a movie where there's, like, goop that falls on you and it literally melts your flesh until you're horribly disfigured and you
yeah,
die.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't stand.
Yeah, so... That's part of what I love so much about this movie.
No, it's a great casting call for sure.
I'm not a soldier, really.
No, of course you're not. That's why I'm embedding you with several hundred thousand men and women who are.
While it is an honor, General, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to decline. Can't stand the sight of blood. Not so much as a paper cut.
No, it's perfect. It's a perfect cast. He does the weasel bit very well. Like, I mean, at the start when he gets pulled into the office of, what's the guy's name? Gleason. He's playing the general, the Irish
Brendan
guy.
Brendan Gleason.
That's it, yeah. I mean, weird room for the Irish general of the English military, but whatever. But yeah, and he's like straight away just like pulling rank on him, and then he attempts to blackmail him and convince him that, you know, he's managed to get all these people in favor of the war and he could easily turn it back against them or turn them on him and all this stuff. So, like, it's the final days of, like, Earth, and he's still trying to, like, weasel out of it and be like, oh, you know, this could be bad PR for you and stuff like that. And he's just like, fuck you. You're going to die on fucking Normandy, dude.
Brendan Gleeson in this movie, I had a planned bit where I was just going to keep on fucking up the beginning of this podcast and we never talk about it. Yeah. I was going to have you say, like, you know, like the entire Ire of Ireland is one country. And then you'd be like, no, it's two. And I'd be like, what? There's a Northern Ireland? And then you'd hear a gunshot. And then you would hear, get up, maggot. And then I'd be like, welcome to the Mr. Movies podcast. And it was just going to be that over and over again. But yeah, Brendan Gleeson in this movie, what's funny is I think he's a miscast, but also I adore him as an actor, so it's totally fine.
Right, yeah, he wins over the role. But yeah, it's kind of weird that he's this general and he's just like this pudgy old guy.
Yeah, the only thing that he really has that like fit the general role is like he had general ears, which he had like these really big ears, and yeah. It just felt like they were always at the center of the frame.
They also like didn't cut his hair at all. It's the same hair as he has for like the Banshees of Inisherin or whatever, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's just like, you're in the military, dude, you can't just have like loose, like unshowered hair.
The funniest thing that this movie does too is on its like, if you strip it down to its integral parts, it is a really, really cliche action movie where the A plot is I need to go dominate in war and the B plot is I'm slowly falling in love.
Yes.
But when you put the stuff on top of it, it's really cool. Like it's a tragic love.
Yeah.
Where he has to sometimes let her die.
Yeah.
In order to find out more information. And each time she dies, it really feels like she dies.
Yeah, I think what they do really well is like, the weight of the deaths isn't like lost in the movie, because the guy dies like 300 times, I think, or 260 times, I think it is in the end.
Yeah.
And like the ones that you see, apart from like the montage, like dozen, are like quite impactful, and you can see as the movie's wearing on, he's like worn out by dying over and over. And it's like, it's not like a hard reset. Like he still lives through the fact that he's died like 100 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he also never gets to relax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like he doesn't sleep for like 100 days and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I imagine his body's never tired, but your mind has to just be.
Yeah, that's what it is. You can sort of see it in his face that like his eyes are like sinking in as the movie goes on. It's just like a good touch. And I really like the whole time plot device, which I suppose we mentioned before, his face gets melted from the blood of this alien, and the alien's blood that have invaded Earth, their blood is the time travel power, right? That's how they're winning this global like conflict on Earth. So once you get the blood infected within you, which is like, I think the scientist nerd guy says it's like there's one of these aliens every
out of every 1.6 million.
Something, some real far shot, right? Like where Tom Cruise gets this like 1 in 1 million shot of getting hit by this alien's blood, which goes into his bloodstream and then gives him the power to reset the day. But the only way to do that is to die. He doesn't have the ability to just like snap his fingers and reset the day.
Yeah, so the other premise is because they have this power that this enemy is truly unbeatable.
Yeah.
Because if they know every single move beforehand, there's no way you can lose.
Exactly.
And that's a very cool premise.
Yeah. And also what I like about that as well is it's just that you have the blood. The blood is the power. You now have the blood. Don't ask any more fucking questions. Get on with the movie.
That is the other cool thing, is they don't go like, oh, how does it work? It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know that this is our justification to have Tom Cruise get his shit blown up a billion times.
All you need is just like that one line sentence for anything. I don't need multiverse theory. I don't need like the characters being like, but what about, like, I don't give a fuck. Just give me one loose thing that I can just like hold on to and just be like, yeah, sure, now go for it.
The other thing this movie did really well, one, it presented like an alternate time. I don't know how to say that. Like an alternate reality where something like this can exist, and it commits to that. It never wanes in what is and isn't possible with it. The other thing is that it covers all its bases. Because one of them was Tom Cruise is just like, I'm sick of fucking dying all the time.
Yeah.
So he just stays in a bar with all these like old World War II veterans who are just calling him a coward and stuff like that. And then you just see the world fall. And he's like, oh, fuck, I guess I gotta do it.
It's like less than a day after he decides to not participate in his like destiny, I guess. You kind of see him fall fall out of the arc of, like, the hero's arc, I guess. And the moment he, like, rejects it, the world just, like, crumbles, so he knows he's, like, stuck and he has to do this thing.
The other thing that I adored about this movie was the locations that they picked for, like, the major plot points to take place. Where I'm pretty sure that, like, Trafalgar Square was featured.
So sorry, you're gonna have to say that again. What the fuck did you say?
Trafalgar? Is that how you say it? Trafalgar?
Yes, dude, Trafalgar.
It's Trafalgar?
Trafalgar.
Trafalgar, come on.
You sound like you're casting a fucking spell. Jesus. Trafalgar, like a fucking French dish, get real. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Trafalgar?
Trafalgar? Yes, Trafalgar, yeah.
Trafalgar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they feature that, and the other one that's really funny is that the mothership creature is called the Omega. So, like, the big baddie is the Alpha, obviously.
Yes.
Everyone under it are Betas, which are, it's kind of like the relationship between a podcaster and an audience. I'm the cool Alpha. And then there's this mothership Omega, and what's funny is they're, like, giving out these visions of, you know, where it is, and they're even smart enough to say, oh, it's in this weird German dam, like, tons of miles away, which is, like, bait, but the real one is under the parking lot at the Louvre.
That's right, yeah, it's in the parking lot of the Louvre. It's posted,
deeply
posted
funny
up.
Stuff.
It's like a little fucking, like, shitty drug dealer just, like, posted up in the corner of, like, an underground car park.
It'd just be funny if it was just, like, some 7-Eleven somewhere, but they're like, oh, yeah, probably the most famous museum in the world. We're in the parking lot of that.
Yeah.
I guess moments like that really do make it feel like it's a manga. Where they're like, I just want to draw the Louvre.
Yeah, they basically do the Battle of Normandy, like, 50 times in this movie as well. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, they're just having fun with it. But I like I really like like you said, committing to the timeline that they've chosen, and it's kind of like this rushed, shitty future that we're in. So everyone is in these mech suits, but the mech suits are, like, unlike wieldy and, like, kind of clunky and shitty. And it looks like they're, like, clunky and shitty as well, and they're, like, rusty, and you know what I mean? They're not, like, sleek cyber future. It's kind of just, like, slapdash, like, junkyard future.
Yeah, it very much felt like the rapid mobilization that we had during World War II.
Right.
Like, when America was turning Ford factories into just manufacturing a bunch of war parts.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be the same type of thing where, you know, a meteor has landed. We need to turn all of Earth's production into, you know, whatever cybernetic shit we come up with. And of course it would be whatever metal they had on hand.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, they, like, they got, like, of course they have the obligatory, like, Japanese or Korean, like, voice over thing telling you, like, have no ammo, and he doesn't know how to work the safety or if the safety even exists, because the guys are, like, I mean, we're kind of, like, getting forward a little bit, because he gets introduced to this J-Squad, right? Because he's been labeled a deserter by the general, and that's how you meet, what's the sergeant called? Sergeant Farrell, or it's played by Bill Paxton, isn't it?
Oh, it's one of Bill Paxton's greatest roles.
Yeah.
I cannot remember the sergeant's name. I only know one person's name, and it's because of a riff I have.
Oh, okay. Do you want to get into that, or is that going to come up organically in the show?
No, I may as well do it now. Okay. The only character I know the name of is Sergeant Skinner.
Okay.
And I had a feeling that you made me watch this movie because the guy not only looks but sounds exactly like you. And I thought that was the reason you made me watch this movie.
Sergeant...
The British guy.
What? Dude, is in England. Can you hear how fast I'm typing trying to fucking find it? Sergeant Skinner. But... All right, well, it's just giving me pictures of Seymour Skinner, so I feel like you're just, like, having me on.
Hang on.
Dude, he's northern. That guy has a northern accent. What the fuck are you talking about?
I do not know the difference of the accents.
Right.
Do you have a southern accent?
I kind of have, like, a... Yeah, it's kind of like a nondescript. I'm kind of, like, Gus. I'm playing it nice and cool for you. I'm not doing my usual West Country farmer accent.
Oh, but please hit me with the farmer accent.
I can't do it, dude. It's... I mean, no, because now this is the thing, because I have an American wife, and when I talk to Americans, I kind of fall into this, like, nondescript general accent that kind of can slip American. Like, when I went to California, I felt, I could feel it, and I was like, I need to leave. before I just started, like, I do, like, a reverse, the reverse Bridget Jones shit and start, like, doing a bad American accent.
Yeah, it'd be really funny if you became super Cali because you, you know, went back home with your wife and you started saying things like, yeah, no.
Oh, no, yeah. Dude, it happens. It happens. It's really bad.
Oh, I also want to point out the fucking southern accent of that one soldier in this movie is awful.
Wait, which one's that? Is that the sergeant?
It's the girl.
Oh, no. Like, yes, dude, this
what
sucks.
Do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can come down to Florida. Any country bumpkin you meet will give you just... They already act like they're in the military. They're already wearing the grunt wear shirt. Just pick them up off the street.
Yeah,
make them change out of their jorts. And then they'll give you three good line reads of like, what the hell is he doing? And then you just send them on their way.
Yeah, no, her accent is not good. But also, I think, like, the characters, the whole squad, they're kind of, like, over-the-top kookiness kind of serves as, like, a placeholder because you know that when he dies and resets in the day, that he does the whole, like, cool guy thing of being like, you got an ace of spades under the fucking, the deck of cards under the bed, and, like, he does all those premonitions and proves them right. But it kind of, like, serves as, like, a placeholder thing because it's so... It, like, sticks in your head, right? Because it's just so, like comically poorly written, like, almost on purpose.
Yeah, it feels a lot like that scene in Groundhog Day where Bill Murray is coming clean to the... God, I cannot remember her name. And that's really bad because I've seen the movie, like, 30 times.
I have not seen... I don't want to talk about. I don't want to talk about all the movies that I haven't seen that will piss you off. I've not seen so many good movies.
That's totally fine, man. I have huge blind spots too that are comically bad. Like, I've never seen Goodfellas start to finish.
No, I've never seen Goodfellas.
It's totally fine. One day I will, but it's each time I want to put it on, everyone goes, "I've seen that movie 50 times." I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm not seeing it again today. In Groundhog Day, there's a part where in these movies, so. A quick kind of breakdown. When Groundhog Day was written, Harold Ramis talked a lot about like the plot itself, and the plot kind of drove a lot of people to argue about morality. And Groundhog Day is one of the most written about movies ever, solely because of the looping time thing. And it's not more like how would this stuff work. It's more along the lines of, is it morally bad to do the things that you're doing if it has no consequence? And, like, of course it is. It's intention. Come on. It's very easy to piece that together. So there's a part in Groundhog Day where you have to explain to a fish out of water what's going on in your life. So what Bill Murray does is he's sitting at a diner instead of doing his big groundhog news report where he has to go and film Punxsutawney Phil and, you know, he saw a shadow 8 more weeks of winter or whatever, and everybody's all mad. He skips out on that and he starts talking to her and he says, "I'm God. I am God." And she's like, "All right, so you're out of your mind." And what he does is he just goes, "Point to a person in this room and I will tell you their background." And he starts doing it with every single person in the diner. Where he, like, goes up to a waitress, like, "Oh, her name is Sally, and her biggest dream is going to Paris, and she wants to fall in love with a man who wants to ski," and, like, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And she'll go, "Oh, my God, do I?" And then he just does it down the diner, and I think that that scene where he was standing there and being like, "You have an ace of spades there, your name's not actually Ford, that's your friend's name.
Yeah.
You peed yourself in second grade," like that type of stuff, figuring people out like that. I think that's the dream of every single guy who does INTJ stare. It's such a funny scene, and there's a lot of movies, like there's one called Happy Death Day that does a similar type of thing, where you have to explain to a fish out of water what's going on. And then, what was that show? It's like she had red curly hair and she says Thursday. What a concept. Or is it Tuesday? It's one of the T days.
Yeah, no, that rings a bell, but I don't know which movie or TV show that would be.
Yeah, it's the same thing where there's always a fish out of water where you go, "I am stuck in time." Oh, Palm Springs, another movie.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that?
I've seen that, yeah.
Isn't it nice?
It's pretty good.
It was nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They make you empathize with Andy Samberg. Of all people.
the greatest bit of movie magic maybe ever. Make me empathize with him.
The guy from Lonely Island. Mr. Jizz in My Pants is giving a tearjerker of a wedding speech. So I wanted to talk about how this movie did a lot of war cliches in ways that were really fun.
Yeah.
And I, now knowing that it's a manga, I like get why they did them, because a lot of these scenes, as they'd be drawn, would be beautiful to see drawn, but in film is super corny. But I don't know what it is. Tom Cruise completely buying into the character. excuse isn't the right word. It really did add to how much I enjoyed it. The two that I love the most was, you know, predicting exactly where the enemy would be. When he saves the girl the first time, and he's like, listen, I'm here to save you, and I've, you know, lived this day a bunch of times, and she's just in disbelief, and he shoots above him, not looking, yeah. Shoots above him, and then shoots to the left of him and kills one of the mimics.
Yeah, the very epic, like, no-look kills.
Yeah, extremely cliche, yeah. But you know, in a written, like, graphic novel format, that shit slapped. They probably put the blocks up so it, you know, it reads, like, not in a chronological way. It probably looks so sick. The other one is when he drops the grenade belt after being chased by the Alpha into the Omega thing. And,
oh, yes,
you know,
it
stabs through his back, and he just looks at it and just slowly releases all the grenade pins.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah, he does the whole, like, yeah, the slow release, because it's underwater as well, and it's just like the... yeah, because this is the thing, because I think I've watched this film maybe like 6 times, and every time, apart from the last time I watched it last week, I kind of like turned it off at that point, because I go, oh, well, whatever, like, who gives a fuck? And I forgot, does he live or die? I don't fucking remember, so I had to sit down and rewatch
That's so funny. Do you want to talk the ending of the movie? Because I thought that the ending was so funny. We have been, like, third person observing him the entire movie. We know roughly what he's experienced. I mean, even, like, parts where they're sitting down and just drinking coffee together, and he's, like, taking care of her arm and stuff.
And he knows how she wants her coffee and stuff, and she hates that she's... It's sort of like that point, because you don't see the progression. I mean, you do, but you don't see how many deaths it has taken them to get, because you're basically inchworming your way through this film, where like every time or every handful of times they get like a little bit further into the like journey, right? And so they get to this safe house kind of thing, and he starts revealing that he knows like how she likes her coffee. And before that, they're talking about, like, oh, you told me your middle name and shit, and she's, like, taken aback by this. And you kind of, like, miss that like, connective tissue, right?
Yeah, and there's, like, a part where he's hiding the helicopter keys because he's made it to this point, like, 60 times, mm-hmm. and she always dies in the helicopter. Always. Yeah. So, naturally, he has to kill himself or, you know, allow himself to be eaten by these aliens.
Right. He's just like, let's just forget it. Let's just enjoy the night, because we're going to die anyway and have to reset. So let's just like get to know each other.
Yeah.
Or maybe fuck.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that raises the, that raises the Groundhog Day argument of, come on, man. We experience all of this with him. In the end of the movie, he virtually dies, I guess, to the Alpha, because it does the Ridley downbeat attack where the sharp tail goes through your body. And then, you know, blows it up, and he absorbs all of whatever's inside the Omega thing, and it sends him back another
It's the vax. It's the vaccine. He gets hit with the
Corona 5G.
The Omega. the Omega's Anthony Fauci. and his tendril comes out and pricks her with another COVID vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah, so Tom Cruise has to live out that day one last time with long COVID. And it's like so funny because his future has changed where he's no longer disgraced or anything like that. And he calmly walks in there and sees her doing yoga like he's seen her do for like the last 1,000 days or however many times he's seen her do it. And what's funny is she is creeped out because she's like, why the fuck is this guy staring at me? And he's like madly in love with her.
Yeah.
And the end of the movie is so funny to me because one, you know, he has been the only person who's perceived her as long as he has. He's gotten to know her for a year. He's madly in love with her because she has all the traits that he loves. She literally has never met him, but I think that the funniest thing is looking at this through these, like, rose-tinted glasses, because he went back a day. They still have to go to war. She can die for real again. Like, they barely made it, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's pretty good. And then the worst And then the worst outro music in history comes careening onto the screen.
Yeah, you want to talk about a splash of cold water.
Fucking hell, yeah. That was... what's it called? It's a really famous song, but I can't remember that. Is it Paul Newman?
I'm choosing to think that it's Randy Newman, actually.
Wait, Paul Newman's an American. Who the fuck am I talking
You were thinking
about?
Of the Newman's Own salad dressing.
John Newman. There you go. John Newman. No, it's Love Me Again by John Newman, which has been basically on every, like, advert ever during the mid-2010s. Yeah. Yeah, it fucking kills this film. It's so funny. Such a weird choice.
I'm on the movie subreddit right now, and there's a post called Edge of Tomorrow has one of the best uses of an end credit song.
Jesus. Yeah, well, of course.
Edge of Tomorrow is a superb film, and its awesomeness continues even into the end credits with the use of John Newman's Love Me Again song. Other than being a great time travel sci-fi movie, God, I really just, I go on Reddit every day to just make myself mad.
I know you do, dude. I see you post so much about Reddit on there. I don't know why you do it.
Did you see the stuff I was posting about, the worst subreddit is one called Next Fucking Level. And
yes, dude.
There was one where they posted the video of Bush being told that the Twin Towers had been hit while he's reading to kids, and they're like, yeah, this was Next Fucking Level.
Oh man, yeah, Bush ate that up.
Yeah.
He really ate that shit up.
But Edge of Tomorrow, fucking great movie. I am stunned.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great sci-fi romp, and I don't like action films too much. I don't like movies too much.
Same here.
Like, period.
What do you do? Oh yeah, you're a sport man.
I like sports. I like games. I like some movies, but it's just kind of like I'm kind of like of the opinion that, like, if you aggregate all movies ever, movies are bad, like, on aggregate. If you rack up good versus bad movies, like, bad movies win out.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'm trying to watch more movies to become, like, I don't know, more interesting.
it's really, really tough, because if you look at, so there are a lot of people I talk to that'll say things along the lines of, yeah, I don't like big blockbusters. I want to get into more artsy movies, but reason.
Right.
I don't want to do it because they're intimidating, or I just don't get them or anything. And a lot of people will be like, oh, here are the heights of cinema. And what they give you is, like, Funny Games, Phantom Thread, Un Chien Andalou. It's really, really inaccessible movies to somebody who has only ever spent their time watching Maze Runner and right. wants to get out of it. And the movies that I always recommend to people who want to get into cinema that's not blockbustery but starts getting into the realm of more artsy craft type movies is always just the Coen brothers.
Yeah,
watch Coen brothers movies. They're wonderful. They're yeah, so they're much fun. Good. Yeah, one of the best ones to watch where you know, there was a tweet that I saw one time that it felt so accurate, where someone said, "There for people who watch only blockbuster movies, you know, your Avatars, your Star Wars, they'll watch one indie movie in their lives and talk about that movie every single chance that they have an opportunity to." And I think it's because there's, like, cinema that tries, and you're like, oh yeah, this is actually a good art form. That's crazy. And that movie for a lot of people is Little Miss Sunshine.
Okay,
like, everybody... Oh my god.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it for you. How about that?
I don't know if you'll enjoy it's a thing. It's, like, very much a product of its time. It's kind of like the movie Garden State with Zach Braff, where I hadn't watched it until about a year ago. And I was like, wow, this is ass. But oh. It's because The Fray hasn't been a band for, like, 15
oh,
years.
Oh, no.
You know, so it's stuff like that, where... The context of the time period that it came out's past, so it's just weird to look back at.
Mm.
That's why I think Amelie is one of the all-time great movies, because that movie, to me, encapsulates what it was like to live in the early 2000s more than any other movie I've seen.
I think my wife has said, I think that's her favorite movie ever, and I've rejected every chance to watch it.
It's a very, very quirky movie.
It seems very woke to me.
It's super woke. Emmanuel Macron and his woke thugs force her to eat a creme brulee at gunpoint. Josh, thank you so much for coming on and talking Edge of Tomorrow.
Hey, yeah, I think we did so at some point in there a little bit.
Yeah. I miss talking to my pal. I haven't gotten to talk to you as much ever since you've started harpooning fish all the time.
Yeah, I gave up the podcasting world long ago because, you took a break. You know what it's like. Sometimes having to think of things to say multiple times an hour, it's just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to think.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, my favorite part of it is editing, but if I do both in the same day, oh my god. Yeah, it's like eating your veggies and doing, like, a full body workout. It's like, can I just do one of these today?
Yeah, no, it's no good. But it is good. It's simultaneously good and not good.
Damn, would you look at that. It's a post-credits scene. So Josh and I were talking and we got super off track for a lot of this episode. So I hacked together all the stuff of us actually talking about the movie, but I'm leaving all these little things in because I thought that'd be fun. I heard a bang behind me. That was kind of scary. So thank you for listening, everyone. And I'm just going to let the congestion slowly deteriorate my brain. I will admit something embarrassing, though. When Tesla started becoming more common to see, like you actually knew someone who drove them, I did have a Tesla shirt in 2014. I was like, Tesla is a cool car brand. And then I lost the shirt. Like, I lost it. I don't know where it ever went.
That just, like, displays something about the American psyche that I cannot parse.
I love brands.
I love this brand.
I know, it's so bad, man.
It's so weird. You guys are very weird about stuff like that. Like, loving, like, I can't fucking talk in English, like, but just, like, the brand affiliate, like, it's the merch. It's, like, the merch.
I feel like the English wear clothing. They care a lot more about clothing brands than I think we do.
Yeah, we have.
Where
that,
you guys
that
will
Europe
have the
thing.
Yeah. You'll have like a like if you have the Adidas Trifloret on your hat, you have to have that on your jacket and your pants and your shoes. Like it's all gotta match.
Yeah, we do fits a lot more out here. I think we have.
Oh yeah,
we have like athleisure drip for sure. I haven't been out of these. I've been in these sweatpants for like 15 weeks.
Yeah, it's called drip for a different reason for you though.
Yeah, Americans have swag. English, what was that? The meme like boys have swag.
Oh yeah,
men have.
Yeah,
class.
We here in America, we'll have stuff like restaurants. Will have merch that they sell on the wall that you can buy for like $35. And if you wear that into the restaurant, you get 10% off. And people do that.
That's so good. But the thing is, though, like, I'm becoming an old man, but like wearing a t-shirt that'd be like Stinky Willy's Big Wet Fish Grill, like t-shirt, that would be fucking awesome. I'd love to do that.
That's so good. Crazy Eddie's big fat fucking restaurant. You're like
just the restaurant's big fat. Did you hear about the coffee shop in Connecticut that got flack because it was called like woke or something?
No, I didn't. How'd I miss that?
I can't remember. I think I seen it online somewhere, but this woman, she's I think she's like a Mexican. She moved over from Mexico. And she opened this restaurant and just wanted to call it something like awake and called it woke
and didn't
realize that woke was like this whole thing. And so she had all these crazy like wasps just like trying to fucking burn her shit down.
Oh my god.
I mean, no, I don't know if they literally did, but they tried to like run her out of town. I think it was okay in the end, but like
that's unbelievable.
That's so good. Moving to another country and just calling it like the hot topic of like the generation, not realizing.
Yeah. You open up a running shoe store called Critical Race Theory. Like...